Hey, what's up? This is Leo for actualized.org, and today I wanted to cover the Meditations, which were written by Marcus Aurelius. He was a Roman emperor, and really about the lessons that can be drawn from the Meditations and applied to your life in order to get more peace and contentment with the way your life is right now. So what are the Meditations? Just to give a little bit of history, of where this work comes from. Really, it's a diary written by Marcus Aurelius Antonius, who was a Roman emperor back in 200 AD, thereabouts. And he was really considered one of the quote-unquote good emperors who ran the Roman Empire before it ultimately collapsed a few hundred years later. And what's really interesting about Marcus is his worldview and how he viewed life and how he applied that to running the Roman Empire and the kind of peace that this man has and just the kind of brilliance in his way of thinking. Because what's unique about the Meditations, which is actually the only, I believe this is correct, the only surviving work of a Roman emperor, written work, is that you really get a picture into how he thought, and I think it's very instructive, because if I could sum up the gist of it, the gist of his philosophy, which was, by the way, Stoicism, was that everything that people usually tend to associate with the problems in their life is external. And there's this dichotomy between the external things that are bothering us and also our internal state of mind and how we're feeling and how we're thinking. And what Stoicism does, it really flips that coin on the other side. So usually what we're doing is we're always concerned about how are people thinking about us, what are we accomplishing, why is that person making me feel bad, how can I make myself feel better by stimulating myself with food, drugs, or some other sort of addiction, or just stimulation via entertainment. So all of that is external. And then you have the internal, and the internal is how you're feeling, how you're thinking, and how you're composing your thoughts. And what was really amazing about the Meditations and instructive for me was the purpose that it served. So for Marcus, the way that he used the Meditations, because they were written to himself, he basically wrote this personal diary to himself. He didn't intend anybody else to read it. And he himself would read it on a daily basis, and it would serve as a refresher for him as to his higher ideals in the way that he wanted to live. So it was a way for him to get back in touch with his higher self, with his values, with the principles by which he wanted to live his life, and with larger perspective. I think the problem is that when you're living in life and you're completely enmeshed in it and you're identified with all the problems that you're having on a day-to-day basis, you're so identified with that you lose sight of the bigger picture of life. Like, what is actually happening here? You know, you lose sight of kind of the majesty of life and also the shortness of life, which is covered in depth. It's like a recurring theme throughout the Meditations, which is Marcus's attempt to really grapple with death and to come to grips with it and to not fear it, because I think that's a natural fear for everybody. So how did the Meditations work? Well, really there were two, I think, strands to it, two functions that it served. One was to put him back in touch with his higher self, like we already said. And the second was a consolation function. So it served as a way to console him when he was feeling down or unresourceful, or basically when he had that tendency to go into his lower self, reading the Meditations would prop him back up into the higher self. So if he was struggling because he got mad at somebody and lost his temper because somebody was not respecting him or was trying to undermine him, then that would throw him off his track, and he would use the Meditations to put him back on that track. Or if something was happening with politics that he was having trouble handling, or in court life, or, you know, he was an emperor, so he was also leader of the army, so military campaigns that were being waged that were causing problems, And there were some particular campaigns that were really causing Marcus a lot of problems during that time, with rebellions up in the north in the Germanic provinces. And so whenever he was getting flustered by all that stuff that was happening, all that external stuff, the meditations would bring him back to center and get him back in touch with the internal. I think this is a really valuable lesson, because a lot of times we tend to think that our problems are external and that the solutions to our problems are external. Whereas in fact, a lot of that can be solved internally. And in fact, it should be, because it's very hard to attain peace if that's something that you're looking for in your life. It's very hard to get that by always looking for it out there. What happens is you look at it for out there, and then eventually you realize that you have to go inside to find it. You have to stabilize yourself. I think what was most admirable about Marcus was the kind of equanimity that he had, the kind of stability and just conscious self-restraint. And if I was to sum up Stoicism in one word, I think it would be self-restraint. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean it in a positive sense. There's a sense in which when you tell someone about Stoicism and they hear that, they say, well, Stoicism, that's not something that we should aspire to. That's not something that's positive, because it in some way implies a lack of emotion, and it implies that the person is rigid and stilted and robotic. And it also implies that if you're turning in within yourself and you're grounded and you're internally focused, then how are you supposed to go out there and achieve the big things you want to achieve? How are you supposed to be accomplished? How are you supposed to go and hold down a career? How are you supposed to manage raising a family and all these other goals that you might have that are practical and that are out there in the real world? They're not just in your head. Well, I think that is a simplistic way to look at Stoicism. I think there's a lot of depth there, and there's definitely some stuff that you can draw from Stoicism without going into it full bore. So one thing that you'll notice right off the bat, the reason that Marcus is such a good example here to use, is that he wasn't just some sort of hermit philosopher living high in the mountains and studying textbooks and then just spouting the stuff off. This guy is what you would consider in modern times, probably what the president of the United States would be an equivalent position in modern times, or the CEO of some Fortune 500 company. So this guy was responsible for a lot, and he had a lot of mundane things happening in his life that was drawing on his attention. So he had military campaigns to worry about, he had internal politics, he had revolts and saboteurs to worry about, he also had his reputation to consider, and the reputation of his family. He also had his own family, he was married, he had children, and all of that was important to him, and he was just a normal guy like you or me, but he was trying to figure out how to make sense of all that, but also stay calm and grounded and peaceful in it, and also really stay true to his higher self. So here's the interesting thing, is that if you're living your life and you're happy the way you are right now, and you're happy chasing after the externals in life, then really there's no problem with that. You can keep doing that, and who am I to judge you for doing that? But I think there's something to be said about always thirsting for the externals and chasing after it, because eventually what it does is it starts to undermine you, and your higher self starts to feel neglected. For example, you might have certain values that like you like to live up to, like honesty and positivity and contribution to others, things of that nature. And maybe you're not living up to those because what's happening is that your lower self is dragging you down. So it tends to be the case that the default position in life is, if you're just kind of going along with the flow of life and you're living in modern society and you're watching modern entertainment and you're listening to your friends and to your family, what tends to happen is that you kind of go with the flow. And the go with the flow is that you're chasing after externals, you're valuing things that society values, and a lot of those things are pretty shallow. So a lot of those things are just entertainment or money or fame or external success, whether it's a shiny new car or a house or whatever that might be. And I'm not discounting any of those things. Those things can be great if that's what you're into, but recognize that if some part of you says that there's more to life that you're not partaking in, and you want more of that, and you're also maybe suffering a little bit because you don't have enough of that, that those higher ideals that you're actually living up to, then there's some lessons to really be drawn from the meditations. Now, what's really cool is the meditations really need to be read. So first of all, I highly encourage you to read them because of the mood of the words that Marcus has. I can't really do them justice by talking about them. This is just a little bit of analysis and some of my thoughts on it. Really go down further into the article and read some of the excerpts. I think I did a pretty good job of summarizing the general themes, and I took a lot of excerpts out of the book to mention in the article, so you get a taste for it if you don't have time to read the whole thing. But I also encourage you to actually buy the meditations and read it maybe even a couple of times, because as you do, you really get a sense of what the man's thinking was like and what a Stoic mindset is, and also how different it is probably from the way that you're thinking. And it'll give you some ideas about how to think differently about various things. Well, let's talk about what the meditations really covers. There's a big focus on death and coping with death and the prospect of death and how to be calm and at ease with that. I think that a case can be made that a lot of stuff that we do in life, a lot of stuff that we distract ourselves with, like entertainment and fame and success, in some ways can be boiled down to a fear of death and not really wanting to face it. Because even though it can be gloomy to think about death like this, the way that Marcus thinks about it in the meditations, it's also a realistic way to think about it. Because the way that Marcus thinks about it is like this. Ultimately, your life is very short. In the lifespan of the whole universe, your time on this earth is just like a millisecond. There it went. It's gone. And everybody that you know, all your friends, all your family, your kids' kids, one, two, three generations gone just like that in the lifespan of the universe. So really, it's like dust. It's like ash. It just blows away with the wind. It doesn't matter. It's insignificant. And your time here is so short. But do we really think about that? Do you think about that every morning you wake up? Probably not, right? Maybe you think about it like once a year when you get in that kind of a pensive mood. But usually we don't think about that. But the fact is that this is reality, right? Your life is short. This is just scientific fact. And it was apparent 2,000 years ago as it is today. Maybe even more so, because today we're just distracted by all the titillation that modern society offers. And so we kind of lose track of the brevity of life. And also, as a result, we kind of lose track of our priorities too, because we tend to think that we have all this time to do anything we want, and that we can just kind of wander around aimlessly. And you know, if you're happy with that, if you want to live that kind of life, more power to you. But also, I think most of us will sense that if we live a life like that, then on your deathbed, you're going to kind of regret it. You're going to regret not having lived up to those higher ideals that the higher self has. You're going to have probably regret not being as honest as you were. You're probably going to regret not living the virtues that you want to live to. You're probably going to regret not having contributed more to society. You're probably going to regret for not having deeper relationships or just getting distracted by all the pettiness in life, right? Just on a day-to-day basis, for Marcus, it was no different than it is for us. Like he would, in the meditations, he talks about how he has to restrain himself from getting sucked into negative thinking, or from getting sucked into thinking about how somebody said something bad about him and how that's going to reflect on his legacy or on his fame or on his prestige or how people think about him. But ultimately what happens is that when he really thinks about it, when he digs into it and he meditates on this stuff, he comes to find that none of that matters. Because how important is the opinion of somebody else when that person is going to be dead in just the snap of a finger? You know, Marcus is going to be dead, and then everybody that thought something bad about him is going to be dead, and all their children who they taught bad things about Marcus too will be dead, and soon all of that will be forgotten and all of that will be insignificant. So worrying about it on some level is entirely trivial, and all it does is it just agitates you. So That is one topic, death, big topic. I think it's like an underpinner of everything else. But other topics that he talks about, we already covered a little bit of this notion of the pettiness, thinking, having petty thoughts, and thinking and concerning yourself with petty things throughout the day that really distract you from your core values. So that one. He also talks about how to restrain yourself from desires, certain desires that draw you in, but that might be unhealthy for you or bad for you in the long run, and how to abstain from those. He also talks about topics like self-restraint and how to cultivate self-restraint in oneself, how to be grateful about the things that you have in life, how to bring yourself to peace when you're agitated by things, and more topics basically along all of those lines. How to be calm when you're in pain, so when you have illness, or how to cope with the death of other people. So Marcus was a family man, he had a family, had a wife, he had children. So how to deal with that in a composed kind of way. Not to say that you just totally detach and you're robotic, but that you deal it with a certain calmness and a certain empowerment rather than pulling your hair out and throwing temper tantrums or getting mad at people when they say things about you that you don't particularly like. So basically how to live up to virtues in life. Now, what's interesting to me about the meditations is that Marcus wrote them to himself, and he had to read them on a daily basis to kind of bring himself back to his higher self. Because here's the thing, and it's interesting how the human mind works like this, is that we tend to forget. Usually, when we are in touch with our values, with our deepest values and our purpose in life, we get very excited, and we see all the possibilities and all the potential, and we get starry-eyed, and everything seems great. But then you wake up the next morning and life has a way of just coming in and washing over all that. Because your higher self, even though that voice is very powerful, it's also very subtle and faint. And it can be easily overwhelmed by the background noise. And the background noise is all the external stuff, right? Because there's the internal voice, this is the higher self. And then to some extent, there's also an internal lower self. But then there's also like the background noise of society that it's kind of goading the lower self on, because it really feeds into it. So this would be advertising, this might be your family and your friends and what they're doing and what they think of you, this might be your coworkers and your job, this might be media and what you're watching on television and those values that are getting reinforced there, and through marketing, commercials, entertainment, all of that good jazz. So there's really something to be said from disengaging yourself from that background noise as much as possible so that you can hear the faint higher self beat of your drum and then really march to that beat rather than the beat of everyone else or your own lower self beat. And that tends to be difficult to do, so you need to keep reminding yourself that it's really fascinating how your mind easily forgets this. In fact, I could make the case that this idea of forgetting your higher purpose, your new values, is maybe one of the most challenging aspects of personal development, is why self-development is so difficult and why changing your habits is so difficult. Because a lot of times we're just running on autopilot, and it takes conscious effort and awareness to make changes in yourself, because if you're running on a certain routine all the time, you do that unconsciously. And you don't need to engage that higher self. You don't need to listen to that higher self to do that. And really, you don't need to keep anything in conscious memory up here, like your short to medium term memory. You can call it your RAM, so to speak. If your RAM gets filled up, then there's only so much of it. So let's say that you decide to start going to the gym next week, and you've never gone before. All of a sudden, that's a new thing that has to be sitting at the forefront of your mind for you to do it. Because if you don't put it in the forefront of your mind, you're going to forget. You're quite simply just going to forget. You know, it might be the case that you make a resolution right now, and then next Monday, when it comes time to go to that gym, you're just going to sleep in, or you're going to go out and party with friends, or you're going to watch a movie instead of going and doing that gym. Not because you were lazy, that certainly happens a lot, but simply because you forgot that it's even on your agenda anymore. How often has that happened to you, where you just forget to make the change that you want to make? With the gym, maybe that's a little bit less plausible because it's a pretty big kind of commitment that you're making. It's also quite noticeable. But if you're trying to make very subtle changes in your behavior or in the way that you run your life, it can be a very pernicious problem because you simply forget. Like one example that I had was that I was working on eye contact, and I was for a long time had a problem with making eye contact with people simply because when I was growing up, I wasn't very social. I was a little bit shy, lacked self-confidence, and so I didn't have good eye contact. For example, just a simple thing, when I'm talking to a clerk at the store or a waitress or a friend, I don't look them straight in the eyes the way I want them to, and that's not the kind of communication that I was happy with. So what I'd resolved to do is I really wanted to build that stronger eye contact. What I found was that it's such a subtle change, because eye contact is usually an unconscious thing. If you're doing it, it's probably unconscious. If you're not doing it, it's also probably unconscious. And what I found was that I just kept forgetting. Like, it doesn't take that much actual practice to develop solid eye contact. That's not the problem. The problem where you slip up, if you're trying to do that, is that you simply forget to be doing it. So maybe that first day or two, you're really going to make a conscious effort. And every store that you go to, every clerk you talk to, everyone you shake hands with, you're going to really look them straight in the eyes. And you're gonna say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And you're going to remember to do that. And while you're doing it, you're getting a little bit of, you can kind of feel that you're getting stronger with your eye contact, becoming more natural for you. But you need to keep doing this for weeks, maybe even months, to really lock it in as a habit and make it something that's again part of your natural way of being. But what happens is that after just a few days of that conscious effort, you know, something else comes up and something else comes in and fills that RAM that you have. And all of a sudden this notion or this idea that you had, your higher self idea of developing better eye contact, just gets thrown out and something else gets lodged in. So maybe your friends tell you about the new movie that's coming out on Saturday. And so now you're thrilled to go to the new movie on Saturday and you forget to do your eye contact practice that Saturday. And then the next day you have something else come up and you're too busy so you don't do it then. And then you just forget. And then all of a sudden 2 weeks pass, and all of a sudden after 2 weeks, only then do you go, oh, what happened to that eye contact thing I was working on? I totally forgot about that. And all of a sudden you're back at square one because you really haven't ingrained that new behavior in yourself. And that's just one example. I think that's kind of illustrative of how this works. But I see this in my own life in so many other facets, whether it's nutrition or stuff I want to be doing in my career, or if I want to be reading more books and I'm not doing that. So any of this stuff that I want to work on myself at, if I don't make the space for it in the forefront of my mind, in my RAM, so to speak, then I'm not going to really get it done. And I think Marcus realized that on some level, because for him, the meditations were in place as a tool to counteract that, right? And it's interesting that the human mind requires this. It's not enough to just sit there, come up with a list of values, come up with your goals, come up with a vision, and then all of a sudden your life is on track. No, you have to keep it on track every day, right? If you want to be good at your career, you have to be practicing it every day. If you want to be good at speaking and eye contact, you need to be practicing that all the time, or whatever else. And especially during those critical phases where you're making the transition from not doing it to doing it, that's where even more effort is required. And so there's this theme with the meditations that I think we can take away, which is, if you want to really encourage your higher self and you want to be living up to it, then find ways of reconnecting to your values again and again and again. And the more you can do that, the more you're going to be living by them, because otherwise what's going to happen is you're simply going to forget. Let's say you value honesty. If you don't remind yourself every morning that honesty is something that you want to live by, well, you might have some situation that will come up throughout the day that means that you can be dishonest and still get the short-term benefit from that. And what's going to happen is you're going to choose the easy route, and you're going to choose that short-term benefit because you're not nothing. The values that you have there, they're buried deep somewhere in your brain, and they're not at the forefront of it. So when you're doing the meditations every morning, as Marcus did, you're bringing it up and up and up, and you're going to tend to see those things throughout your day. So if you have a vision for yourself, maybe there's a new career that you want to move into, or you want to hit a certain weight at the gym, or you want to be eating cleaner, or you want to have a better, you want to change up your relationship so it's working more smoothly. Well, you need to focus your attention on that as consistently as you can in order to get the results that you want. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to go with the status quo, and that's what you've got right now. So if you're happy with it, great. But if you're not, then there's probably some changes that you got to put in place. So besides this idea that you really need to be bringing ideas to the forefront of your mind, I think what's really cool about the meditations is that second element, that constellation element that I mentioned, is that Marcus really takes a lot of time to strengthen his inner self. So he really reminds himself of, first of all the great things that he already has in life and how blessed he is with everything that he has, how happy he is with the parents that he's had, with the upbringing that he's had, with the parents, with just all the opportunities that he's been given in life and how that has shaped him. And so he takes effort to really bring that back up into his attention. Because again, if you're not bringing what you already got and what you've already achieved and your accomplishments back up into the forefront of your mind at least once in a while, what's going to happen is you're going to take that stuff for granted. And you can be the most successful person on earth. You can be making millions of dollars. And right now it might seem like, well, if I was making $5 million a year, I would just be so ecstatic. I'd be so happy. And if I had all the fame that some actors have, I would be so happy and my life would just be perfect. But the fact is that once you start getting a taste of that, maybe there's something you do and you get a little bit of fame. Maybe there's something you do and you get a little bit of money. Maybe not the 5 million, maybe you get a good job, you get a good raise, whatever. You start to see that, you know what? Where I am now is so much better, objectively speaking, than where I was 5 years ago. But I don't actually feel much happier. And what you'll realize is you don't feel happier because you don't remind yourself of that difference. Right now, you might be sitting in your, you know, in your two-bedroom apartment in a relatively nice city in America, and you might be struggling with your job, and you might be complaining and whining that certain things in your life aren't right. And I encourage you to fix all that stuff. But on the other hand, what happens when you zoom out and you take the larger perspective on all that? I mean, if you're living in America, honestly, your life should be pretty awesome, and you should be feeling very, very grateful. Because think about the people that are living in Africa. They don't have anything even close to what you have. They don't have any of the amenities that we have, any of the freedoms that we have. People living in countries and villages and tribes where they have barely any access to clean water, any shelter, just the basics of food, and even stuff like protection from government, where chaos is running rampant and you actually have a pretty high probability of getting shot or stabbed or macheted to death when you walk down the street. You know, compare where you are right now with that kind of scenario, and all of a sudden you start to feel pretty good about your life, right? You're suddenly all that little problem that you have at work with your boss, all of a sudden somewhat insignificant, almost makes you kind of feel bad about even whining about it. But I think this is important, putting stuff in perspective, because if you think that you're just gonna amass a bunch of things in your life, houses, cars, and money, and jobs, and even more ethereal things like fame, like you're gonna become famous and all of a sudden that's gonna make you happy, well, I think there are many, many cases where that you can read about in biographies and, you know, newspaper articles, magazines, etc., or just talking to people that will tell you and confirm this has been very well confirmed, but that's not at all the case, and there's not a direct link between just how much money and fame you have and how happy you are. And that in fact a lot of times people that are mega successful in the sort of cultural external sense, like many musicians and rock stars and actors, are actually quite miserable because they are hooked on drugs and they use food and other stimulation to try to get happiness for themselves, because the money and the fame wasn't enough. And so Marcus, I think, has some good antidotes to this, and the antidote to that, it really is gratitude, and doing that consistently. You can't just be grateful once. This is something you have to cultivate as a habit for yourself. In fact, Marcus has a really negative view on fame. He really kind of ridicules it throughout the meditations. And in fact, there's a little anecdote about him, told about him, that he hired a servant or a slave at that time to basically follow him around throughout the courtroom where he lived. And the servant, his only job was to follow Marcus around, and periodically he would whisper in his ear, "You are only a man, and you will soon be dead too." And so the reason for this is kind of striking. I love that antidote, is because it would get Marcus to remember that he's no better, even though he's an emperor, he's really no better than his subjects, right? And that mortality is a gift that he has been given just like everyone else, and that he will be dead, and soon all of the things he's done and everything he's written and all the good deeds he's done and all the wars he's won, all that will be forgotten, all of it will be ash, and all the people that have known about it will be dead too. And so ultimately, what's the point in chasing after that if it means that you're going to sacrifice your higher ideals? So what else did I want to really say about the meditations? I think the ultimate lessons is that you can start changing your life by putting focus on your higher self. And the way to do that is, well, one way to do it is to actually make your own meditations. Don't do it with Marcus's, do it with your own. So maybe make a list of the things that are really important to you. What kind of goals do you want to accomplish, let's say, over the next few years? What kind of values do you want to live your life by? What kind of values make you feel good? Is it helping other people? Is it being honest? Is it having a lot of success and achievement? Is it doing something that you're really passionate about? You know, whatever those things are, it can be anything. Write those things down and come back to them very, very often, so that you are seeing it in front of your eyes and you're not forgetting about it. Also, trying to console yourself when you're feeling bad. So if you're feeling bad because someone said something bad about you, having some sort of principles written down on paper that you can turn to is a very effective strategy. So if someone says something nasty to you at work and you come home and you're all upset about it and you're thinking about it and you're ruminating about it and it's spoiling the rest of your evening, if you were to look at a little piece of paper that told you all the important things that were important to you in your life, and one thing on there would be that life is short and that you really don't have time to waste on pettiness, and that, well, the time that you're wasting right now ruminating about this argument that you had at work where someone said something nasty about you, maybe that's the time you could go spend watching the sunset, or spending it with your loved ones, or working on something important, maybe like helping people, or working on that business idea that you have, or doing something just positive overall, maybe reading a book, instead of ruminating on this petty nonsense. And so having those kinds of principles that are guiding your life is very powerful. I've actually tried this. I went about 30 or 40 days where I wrote out a list of things that were important to me, and every day in the morning I would read through it. You know, it only takes about 5 minutes, and maybe pick one or two of those points that you really want to focus on that day. So maybe that day you want to focus on being nice to people and just, you know, tolerating all the bullshit that they throw at you without getting upset. So pick that one and go through your day and see how that feels. Or maybe it's going to be something else, you know. Maybe there's going to be some other principle, like the fact that your life is short, and you're just going to focus on that for the day. And how is that going to change your life? What kind of things are you doing right now that you're kind of tolerating and you're telling yourself, oh, you know, this is fine. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. Whereas in fact, when you really have this idea in the forefront of your mind that your life is very short and you don't have a lot of time to get the stuff you want to get done, then maybe what you're going to do is you're going to start thinking, your brain is going to start thinking of ways to get the stuff that you want done. So if you have that business idea, maybe your brain will start getting jogged up and start actually contemplating ways to make it happen rather than just dream about it, right? Or maybe if you wanted to start that diet that you've been putting off, maybe now you'll start to realize that, well, shit, I gotta start it now or never. So think about that. Think about what your values are. Think about what kind of meditations you could be doing. And go ahead and read through the rest of the article here and just get a sense, just kind of get a sense of what Stoic philosophy is like and what a amazing individual, a Roman emperor, from 2,000 years ago, the way he thought and the way that he managed his life and also ran the Roman Empire. All right, that's it for today. Peace out.